Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. This is your co-host, Stone Payton, and joining me in the studio this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Mr. Stone, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm well rested. That was a lot of fun on Saturday. We were hanging out with sleep professionals.
That's right. Another remote and learned about another industry which we knew nothing about.
That was a lot of fun. They, you know, some of those guys, they sell the snuffleupagus machine that my kids call it that Uncle Joe brings when he comes to visit.
Where they strap it on your nose to help you sleep better.
I don't remember what the C stands for, but in CPAP, PAP stands for positive airway pressure.
Right. Very good.
So that was a lot of fun. And, you know, I've always thought I could be a professional sleeper. I nap really well. I have a good conscience. I pay the preacher every Sunday. And I can drink a double espresso and my head hit the pillow and I'm gone. So
good for you.
That could be a second job for me.
But I'm excited about this show today.
This is going to be a lot of fun. We had some great interviews over the weekend, but nothing compared, I'm sure, to the segment that we're going to have this morning. A little bit later in the program, we are going to hear from Team Phenom. And they're getting ready to launch an exciting venture. So I'm looking forward to diving into that. But before we do, first up on the High Velocity Radio Show, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce a gentleman with Shark Branding. Welcome to the show, Philip Boykin.
Thanks for having me, Stone.
Well, we are delighted to have you, man. Shark Branding, what are you guys out there doing for folks? What's your mission and purpose?
Well, Shark Branding was founded by Damon John, who most people know as one of the sharks on Shark Tank. But his claim to fame is basically founding FUBU, which stands for us, by us. Founded it back in 1992. And grew it into a global brand with close to $6 billion in sales to date.
Wow, a billion here, a billion there.
You start making, adding up to real
but
money.
Did you know that's what FUBU stands for? Because I did not. For us, by
yes,
us.
Yes, I did.
You did not. You're making that up.
I have a teenage son.
Oh, okay. So, do you have FUBU in the closet?
No, but he's aware of them.
You've got that rapper body style,
my
right?
Kid, that's what he listened to. You know, what do you want from me?
So, how did you get involved with Damon? How did you get involved in this line of work, man?
It's a weird story. I was actually attending a fashion party in New York City, and his attorney just came up and started to talk to me. And he asked me if I'd like to see, if I'd like to meet Damon. And, well, first of all, if I knew who Damon was, and I said yes. I'm a fan of Shark Tank. This was season one, but I had been a fan of Dragon's Den, which was another entrepreneurial show based out of England. And so I watched that on BBC. So I was very excited to see Shark Tank, the American version, coming on air. So I was very familiar with him. The next time I was in New York, I actually got a chance to meet him. We just sat down and talked for about an hour about nothing, and we built a rapport. And
we get along well with Damon, don't you think? We do that all day long.
That's basically what I do every day. But just kind of developed a relationship. I was in the creative space then, and invited him to a couple of things that I, was putting on. Most notably, was debuting the Rolls Royce Ghost. Down in Miami for the Super Bowl. He came, liked what I did, and I guess a couple of years after that, I called him and said, hey, I want a job with you. And I created my own job with Damon, so that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Now, were you part of the actual creating of Shark Branding, or did Shark Branding exist before you got there?
Shark Branding existed before I got there. Another company that he has, he actually owns about six or seven different brands in the clothing arena. But he started to recognize that people and companies were starting to engage him for his branding and marketing prowess. And so he started Shark Branding as a advertising and marketing firm.
And so Shark Branding, part of Shark Branding's mission is to kind of connect brands with people directly in the way that he's done with FUBU and his other brands?
Absolutely. And using platforms basically built on, you know, celebrity influencers, for instance, that's mm-hmm. his background with FUBU. He was able to build that off the back of LL Cool J.
Right.
That's what Lee's doing. He's building this off the back of me.
We're working on that.
Same exact play.
Now, maybe you can educate some of the people who aren't familiar about how that kind of came about. There was some iconic moment that happened with LL Cool J, right, in a magazine ad.
Actually, Damon likes to tell the story of the Gap television ad.
It was a TV ad.
Right. Damon actually, you know, pretty much begged LL to wear his stuff And, you know, after much persuasion, LL actually put a FUBU cap on in a Gap commercial. And
this was unbeknownst to Gap. Gap didn't connect that that might be another brand that was a competitor with them.
They had no clue who FUBU was.
Right.
After the commercial ran, there were a ton of people coming into Gap stores looking for this FUBU.
Right.
And so the Gap executives caught on, and they went crazy, and they pulled the ad. And subsequently, the amount of customers they had coming through their door declined.
Oh, wow.
So they said, put that ad back on. So Damon actually got a lot of free marketing out of that. He calls it a great marketing coup. And, you know, it was great exercise and leveraging.
And product placement,
and product placement. So, he stole $30 million. In 3 months after that. So
wow, that's a lot more than we've done in the last 3 months.
Now, recently, there was something that happened at the Oscars with Chris Rock mentioning the FUBU, suits, FUBU collection suits during the broadcast.
I was not privy to watching the Oscars, but, so that's a story that I'll get Damon in here to
okay,
answer.
Let him
for
answer
you.
That. But the same thing, another one of those kind of magical coincidences happened where a celebrity mentioned FUBU and that they were wearing FUBU, and it was Chris Rock during the Oscars.
Absolutely. I think I slightly recall what you're talking about, but yeah, it's one of those lifestyle brands that, you know, as Damon said, is very few brands that actually make it, you know, to become a lifestyle brand where
right.
if you recognize it like iPhone, you know, everybody knows that.
Right.
They know Apple. They know just these various different brands. They become iconic. So FUBU had the great luxury of becoming one of those brands.
Now, but part of the strategy, and I think part of how you guys work with your clients, are you create these kind of celebrity opportunities where the celebrity is using or interacting with the brand that they're working with? Is that part of your way of you going to market for your
mm-hmm.
clients?
Mm-hmm. My job is as creative director, so I do create these platforms.
Right.
And usually in these platforms, I try to have some type of celebrity. Celebrities actually move and influence. And in fact, there's a whole segment in marketing called influencer marketing. And big companies such as Diageo, which is the world's largest liquor company, and Pepsi, they have directors of influencer marketing where they actually target certain celebrities, you know, to place with their brands to influence, you know, the public. So,
but it's not necessarily like putting their picture holding a Pepsi. It could be appearing at an event and being photographed with a Pepsi, right?
Exactly. It's product placement, whether it's in movies, whether it's on American Idol where you see the Coke cups there. I just saw Think Like a Man because my wife drugged me out there, and I saw all kinds of product placement from Ford to.
And those aren't accidents. They
no.
If you're seeing the logo of a brand, they're probably paid to be there in some way.
Absolutely. I've had great teachers in this industry. One of them, Jeffrey Carinja, out in LA. He's a product placement guru. He's anything from a watch in a James Bond movie, you know, to a car. In a Transformer movie, you know, he's taught me a lot about product placement just through his work. So, you know, you try to gain from those experiences and find neat and creative ways without it being just so overexposed and so blatant in your face. So a lot of times when you look at a People magazine, yeah, I read them because, you know, I have a wife and, you know, we share a bathroom. But, you know, I look at these things and, you know, you'll see Lindsay Lohan stepping out of the car with some Jimmy Choo's on. And, you know, they won't necessarily tell you that they paid for this, you know, because they want it to look organic. But, you know, that's what happens. So
what are some mistakes that even big brands might make if they don't have counsel and expertise and guidance from somebody like you guys that know what you're doing? What are some of the pitfalls that they fall into, or some of the ways that they waste money and don't get the kind of return on investment they should if they're not hooking up with guys like you?
Well, I think a lot of big brands, they have people on board, but they need specialists. What sets us apart as an advertising and marketing firm is that we have direct relationships with a lot of celebrities. So we work from everyone from CeeLo Green to Kim Kardashian. So we actually know what drives them as far as, you know, the types of brands that they like, things that they'll endorse and things of that nature. And we, because we have that relationship, you know, we're able to negotiate with them, you know, for better pricing and better product placement. Whereas if you're going in as, you know, UPS, this big conglomerate, then, you know, that relationship, that personal relationship isn't there. So celebrities are dynamic creatures. They change, and, you know, they wake up on the wrong side of the bed some days, you know, and, you know, a lot of left brain thinkers, they think, oh, if we pay them this amount of money, then we should be able to do. No, it doesn't necessarily work that way.
Right.
You know, your price today may be $100,000. My price for you tomorrow may be $300,000. So I think a lot of big brands make the mistake of thinking that celebrities are commodities that can be traded with a set price, and that's not the case.
Now, the company's called Shark Branding. Is there any affiliation with Shark Tank?
No, but Damon, actually being the branding and marketing guru that he is, he basically leveraged Shark Tank and created Shark Branding. It's, you know, and he's actually branded himself as the shark, so hence the name.
Well, I'll tell you, it was a lot of fun. You know, you didn't have an opportunity to attend. Your father was coming to town.
Right.
So Philip was kind enough to let me bring our intern / Stone's daughter with him. That was a fascinating event. And one of the things that was great about it is that you would watch the show, and then when the commercial came on in this venue, Damon would come out and talk about what was happening behind the scenes. And you found out very quickly, number one, this is a very gracious, articulate, magnetic personality in Damon John. But it was just fascinating to hear him speak to the way that people invest and what motivated the different people on the panel to invest. But it also gave you some insight into the way that Damon John thinks. And that's had to be incredibly valuable for you and your career. I bet you've learned a ton.
Yeah, it's pretty humbling, you know, to be in the presence of someone that's, you know, basically done it all. And I learn every day. And, you know, I can't speak to, you know, I've learned a lot from a lot of people, and I read a lot, and I have interest from A to Z. But to be in the presence of someone that's done that on a global scale and has so much popularity, so much respect, is truly amazing. And, you know, I'm humbled to be, you know, in the presence of a giant.
But that's going to be, you have to try to balance that. You're meeting with all these famous people, but yet you have things that you can offer them. You have counsel to offer these famous people that make a ton of money. It must be a very interesting balance between keeping your ego in check, but then asserting your ego when it's necessary to try to help some of these folks out, yeah?
Yeah, I like to replace the word ego with confidence.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you have to have humility in everything that you do, but that doesn't mean absence of confidence. So that's what I replace ego with in my job. So if I'm dealing with an athlete, if I'm dealing with a celebrity, then, you know, I'm humble in their presence, but I'm confident to know what I'm talking about. And, you know, look, we can help you. Same thing when approaching a brand. You know, a Coca-Cola or AT&T, same thing. You know, these guys have been doing it for years. I mean, Coca-Cola has 100% household penetration. Everybody in the world knows that brand.
Right.
But you still have to have confidence when you go in front of them and say, hey, look, we still can help you. You know, get 100 and is it possibly 101%?
101%
brand penetration. So, yeah, absolutely.
So how do you spend your day? What will you do this week other than hanging out with us? You'll go call on the Coca-Colas, or you're already in, or the AT&Ts and the big brands, and talk to them, help them understand how they can meet some of these other markets in a different way. Is that what you do with your day?
I spend a lot of my week in meetings. I travel quite a bit, but then a lot of times, because I'm a creative, I actually go hang out in the park during the work day, and I turn off my cell phone. And I look at the birds, and I come up with ideas. And basically, my job is about 20% of doing that, and then another 80% of, you know, pulling everything together to create the platform. So it's interesting. You know, you never know where you'll find me. Usually you'll find me walking around in some Converse All-Stars and Little Five Points. Or, you know, you'll find me in a suit, you know, in a Fortune 500 company. So it's very dynamic my days.
Now, you talk a lot about platforms. Can you describe some of the platforms that you've worked with your Shark Branding and your clients?
Well, the biggest platform that I'm working on right now is one that I've created, you know, and we're partnering with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I can't speak much about it, but it is a game changer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're looking really forward to, you know, using their platform along with the one that we created and connecting these brands and then ultimately pushing that out to the consumer. So that's, you know, basically the main one that I'm working with right now that I really am not at liberty to speak much about. And, you know, a lot of these things are kind of top secret until we roll them out.
Now, but to give an example of a platform isn't necessarily like an ad in People magazine. A platform could be an event. A platform could be a TV show. A platform mm-hmm. could be a play. It could be anything, right? It isn't traditional media.
Right. Or it could be traditional media. But, you know, I don't focus on many ad agencies. They focus on media buys, such as in the Atlanta Journal and Constitution right. or a commercial and things of that nature. I'm more into experiential marketing. So I create events, you know, to connect the consumers, television shows, you know, just anything that actually integrates the fan or the consumer to the brand. And I use the celebrities as kind of my honey, you know, to do those.
So that's what attracts the people to the brand.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's what we use anyway.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So do you foresee with all the advance of technology and the mobile devices and everyone utilizing the internet so much, do you see that more and more being an outlet for you to get the message out through your celebrities?
Absolutely. Technology, I try to stay up on technology as much as I can. I try to read Mashable. as much as I can. You know, LinkedIn gives their top five updates every week. I mean, social media, you know, digital platforms, everywhere you go, someone has a smartphone and they're looking in it. So, you know, I'm looking at things like cloud-based apps, you know, just all kinds of different technologies so that we can you know, interject these brands with the consumers. So technology is very big, very, very big.
And you got to stay kind of on the cutting edge of that, right? You
can't. I try to stay on the cutting edge. I try to surround myself with people that know a lot more about technology than I do so that they can continue to advise me and say, hey, look, this is what you need to place into your platform.
Now, what about, you mentioned traveling. Do you travel internationally to kind of see what's happening in different countries and different cultures?
Well, we are not an internationally, we don't do any business international, mm-hmm. but sometimes I'll travel international, you know, just for my personal experience and I can bring those type of things back to my platforms. You know, just every culture has something to give. So if you go to an event and there's some, you know, some aspects from India into this event that you haven't experienced personally, but I've integrated them with this brand and this event, you're going to walk away and say, hey, that was a great event. I never seen anything like that before. And so it's all about creating memories for people, and then they can recall those memories and they can attach those to those brands. So if that India experience was related to, you know, the iPad, you know, then you would connect the two. Anytime you see, you know, something on India, you would probably subconsciously think about the iPad. So it's just all about doing neat things like that, you know, to, you know, have people recall. And then ultimately sell. So it's all psychological.
Well, I'll tell you what, that was a very articulate response. So I'm going to give you a little insight into that question. Lee wants to be the David Hasselhoff of radio. across the pond.
Ooh, so David Hasselhoff.
He's huge in Germany.
So that's where that question was coming from, but I thought you handled it remarkably well, Philip. Okay. You're really good at what you do.
Appreciate it.
It has been an absolute delight having you come on the show and visit with us, and we got to have you come back from time to time so that you can reveal some things that are happening and stuff you couldn't talk about so much the last time around. And I think you're going to enjoy our next conversation because we're going to talk to a couple of young ladies that are utilizing the web platform. And it'll be interesting. We're going to leave your mic open when we go to the interview with your permission. Maybe we'll get a little counsel from you because you might have some insights. And with your creativity, I think you'd be a lot of help.
Sure, absolutely. I love to stay.
But before we let you go, let's make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you if they want to learn more about how to capitalize on your creativity and the advantages that Shark Branding can bring to them.
Right. Currently, we are revamping our website, but our website is sharkbranding.com, and you can reach me at philip@sharkbranding.com.
Terrific. Well, thanks again for joining us, and please, you hang out with us then while we visit with our next guest?
Absolutely.
All right. Next up on High Velocity Radio, we have with us Lead Team Phenom, and specifically made up of Charlotte and Antonia Newman. Am I saying that right? I'm getting nods.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
We're delighted to have you. I'm looking at both of you. Absolutely gorgeous. Our listeners don't get the benefit of that via radio. But I don't know which one's Charlotte and which one's Antonia.
I'm Antonia.
Okay. All right. So one of you and Antonia, we should start with you if you like. Give us a little bit of a feel for Team Phenom. What's this all about?
Okay. Well, Team Phenom promotes women's athletics. Our goal is to empower girls and women through sports. And our site launches on May 21st with news coverage and an online community for fans. So we're talking all of the major women's professional and collegiate sports primarily. And we really feel like creating a community is key. So some of the community features will include the opportunity to become a member, customize your experience, engage with content, interact with other fans and elite athletes, and even use the site to connect offline. So, for example, to watch a game or meet for a run. And I would also mention that we rely pretty heavily on user-generated content, similar to the Huffington Post and Bleacher Report. So any women's sports enthusiast that would like to, you know, blog with us can do so.
Now, is it professional sports, college sports, high school? Is it even, you know, just kind of recreational sports?
Primarily professional and collegiate sports, but we're also going to cover high school sports, and we'll have international coverage as well.
Now, Charlotte, you want to share what your role in the company is?
Sure. So Antonia and I are co-founders. We both, because we're right now, we just grew to a three-person team, but I tend to take more of the marketing aspects of what we work on, but we share a lot of tasks.
And now, how did you come up with this idea?
Antonia and I really, I would say, came up with it together. We both grew up playing sports. We're huge sports fans and saw a real clear need in the market. So for us, it was a matter of, you know, we grew up playing basketball. Antonia actually played college sports and played internationally and professionally. And if you want to keep and if you want to track the teams that you really love, like, you know, we both are huge fans of women's college basketball. Mm-hmm. It's difficult as a fan of women's sports sometimes to get information. So we thought, what better thing to do than to actually create something to provide information, not just, you know, for ourselves, but for other people. So for us, it's a simple supply and demand issue in a lot of ways. And we thought by creating a community, we're able to leverage some of what's going on just in the tech space generally. You know, people are interested in interacting with other people via technology platforms.
Now, I would imagine that the athletes who are participating are open and for sharing, whereas mm-hmm. like maybe in men's, they aren't as available and accessible to their fans.
Unless you know Philip.
Right.
If you know Philip, you can get to anybody.
I don't know about that, but
is that true?
That is correct. We found that elite athletes have been very supportive, very receptive and supportive to our endeavors. And they've, you know, even agreed to, you know, blog via Team Phenom and connect with our fans online with live chats and so forth. They've come to the events that we've had. So they've been extremely, extremely supportive.
I've been in and around sports all my life. My father was a high school basketball coach. I made the high school baseball team because I had a car. And the phrase elite athlete has never crossed my ears before today. No one ever mentioned that phrase around me ever. But yeah. I like it.
And to be clear, Team Phenom is focused on female athletes and women's sports, but we really want to get both men and women online and excited mm-hmm. about women's sports. It's not just for women. And to that point, we're hoping to engage male athletes who are fans of women's sports. I actually sat down with Warwick Dunn last week to talk about Team Phenom, and he was very supportive of our idea and felt like, you know, there's definitely an avenue perhaps for male athletes as well to sort of be supportive and get involved.
Now, is this an advertising-driven model where you're trying to get sponsors and advertisers?
Advertising, as we grow our community, we hope to actually bring on e-commerce as well. Mm-hmm. So it will then be a split revenue model, yeah.
So now are you getting any interest from some of the sponsors of the professional and college sports leagues to participate in Team Phenom?
We haven't started having those types of conversations. The approach that we're taking, I don't know if you're familiar with like Lean Startup. Mm-hmm. So we're taking the approach of when we launch, kind of getting out there, getting some traction. I think by like July, sort of, you know, mid to late summer, we'll begin having conversations with potential sponsors as well as potential investors.
So your first play is to get out there with as much content, as much user-generated content as possible from a variety of sources?
Yes. That is correct.
So that's your number one to-do, is to find more sources to put their content on?
Correct. In terms of content, just compiling as much content as possible, and content that is not just to fill a void in terms of exactly, and content that will be engaging and so forth.
And what's an example of some of the content sources you have right now?
Right now, our sources include, the women's sports enthusiasts that are contributing via Team Phenom. We also have experienced writers, which our executive editors helped us put together a team of seasoned, you know, writers. And those are the two main sources. We'll have aggregated content as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we also have commitments from some WNBA players to write for
correct.
Our site as well.
Like kind of guest blog kind of thing?
Yeah. Correct.
Oh, that'll be fun. We've had Kathy Betty in the studio, and she was a fantastic lady, former owner of the mm-hmm. Dream. And then our buddy CEO with Atlanta Dream Now, the incoming CEO, Ken Alicchio, he hosts a show here, Brand
right.
Money.
Right.
So we got invited to the party, didn't we?
Yes.
Maybe yeah. you did. Leading get invited.
I got invited.
I got invited to the Dream, to the Dream Party. I remember from our conversations mm-hmm. at Startup Riot that both of you have a real affinity for nonprofit and foundations. Can y'all speak to that a little bit? You guys are supporting the Susan Cominger. So speak to that a little bit, if you would.
Yeah, I would say community service. We're definitely committed to community service. It's, you know, extremely important for us to give back. As far as the Komen Foundation goes, we are participating in the Susan G. Komen's May 12th event, the Komen Atlanta Race for the Cure for the fight against breast cancer. So we would love for listeners to join us, you know, for that great cause. It's their 5K run walk event. And Mizuno is actually sponsoring Team Phenom for that. So people can go to KomenAtlanta.org, KOMEN, search for Team Phenom and, you know, sign up with us for the 5K run walk.
Yeah. And Mizuno's providing shirts for mm-hmm. all of the runners who participate with Team Phenom. And for the person who raises the most money, they're able to get a pair of running shoes of their choice.
Very yeah.
cool. Wow, nice. Yeah.
This thing snuck up on us again, because didn't we say last year that when all the breast cancer effort was going to happen next year, that we were going to make the Red X pink for like the
yes.
whole month? And
yeah.
here we are.
Okay. Once again, we're not that organized.
Now, we need some help.
You guys have recently won some awards in the tech community, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't you? You were, the Women in Technology or Startup Chicks?
Well, we pitched at the Startup Chicks, for Startup Chicks Business Accelerator Program, and
right.
we won first place there. So right now we're still going through their accelerator program, and it's been a great opportunity. The mentorship that they provide as well as their network has been invaluable.
So you're part of that's the ATDC or that's separate?
Separate, but they're pretty close. They actually operate out of the same building, but we're also ATDC members as well.
Yeah. Right. And we were selected to go with Invest Atlanta mm-hmm. to New York to ring the opening bell for NASDAQ, and that was a pretty cool experience.
Oh, that's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
So you're still looking for startup capital? Because Lee's loaded.
Oh.
There's been a lot of business.
Me and Philip, we're going to do this together.
A lot of money in this radio business, as you can imagine. No, but are you, though? Are you still looking for capital, or...?
We are. Yeah. And Tony and I both have MBAs, though, so we're doing it in a very smart way.
Right.
I mean, certainly I want someone to write us a check when we're in a position of to command, I guess, more.
Right, so you're being patient.
More control. Yeah, so we're definitely being patient.
You both have MBAs.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Wow.
I don't even know anybody with an MBA until today.
There are two MBAs ahead of us.
No kidding. Well, that's great. Well, I wish you all the success in the world. How are you going to measure success? How are you going to know when this thing is really working? Have you set some specific benchmarks, milestones?
So I would say our biggest, sort of our brand vision, we want to be the biggest brand in women's sports. We want Team Phenom to not just be a platform for an online community, but we want to expand it offline. And I think the true metric for me, or like, you know, what Antonia and I are really passionate about, is moving women's sports ahead. So I feel like we're successful when female athletes are paid more money, when there are more fans in the seats, when the conversation about women's sports changes. For us, we really want to change the conversation. It's disturbing to me that sometimes we have conversations about women's sports, they're decades behind, I feel. Decades behind the performance level of the athletes, decades behind the level of engagement from girls and women who are passionate about the sports that they play. So I feel like that's where, to me, that's when we're successful. Mm-hmm. When we
now,
reach that point.
Why do you think that women's sports lags, like in terms of attendance, say like at the WNBA games? In some markets, it lags dramatically behind the male NBA.
Yeah.
Even though women are participating in sports in that local market, probably to an equal degree than men are.
I think, and then we actually had a very interesting conversation with one of the owners of the Los Angeles Sparks. And the WNBA, I think, this is WNBA focus, but would be true perhaps of other female sports. I think it's to some extent a marketing question, and perhaps mm-hmm. this is a conversation Philip can jump in on. But I think that the leagues do have to do more and perhaps be smarter about how they're approaching marketing. Mm-hmm. I hope that as Antonia and I are able to build what we're doing and learn lessons from Team Phenom, we are actually able to sit in conversations and perhaps provide some expertise around what leagues and individual teams can do to actually get more fans there. I know that I've seen, for example, one approach that, which is, you know, essentially daily deals, essentially a marketing approach. You're seeing the Hawks, I saw a deal to come across Living Social to get more fans there. I think that that's something that the WNBA or, you know, WPS, the Women's Professional Soccer League, that's something that they should consider doing as well. Just doing as much as possible to sort of actually get fans there. Because when you have conversations with people who go to the games, they're
right,
like,
they love it.
Yeah, they love it. So it's just a matter, it's a trial. I think it's, you know, getting people to try.
To try it.
Yeah.
So, Philip, what are some things, if any, that these two ladies can do, or the female professional industry, professional sports industry in general, can do to make their elite athletes more attractive to the UPSs, the Cokes, the Pepsis, or more attractive for people like you to go talk to them and try to get them involved in some of this? Is there anything they could be doing?
Just from my level or for the things that I know, I would just say, you know, try to create as many touch points as possible, you know, for, you know, your brand and for the things that you want to accomplish for the general public. You know, it may not necessarily be going to the game, but it may be, you know, 3-on-3 tournaments. And you probably already thought of these things, but, you know, it's just trying to create as many touch points as possible, you know, for the public. You know, to get engaged with female sports. And, you know, a lot of these companies have, you know, women's initiatives, they have minority initiatives, they have all of these different initiatives. So pinpoint, you know, who to talk to in regards to your initiative and say, hey, look, we can create these different touch points. And here's what this is going to do for your brand. And always approach these companies for what you can do for them as opposed to what they can do for you. And then ultimately you're going to get what you need out of that. So it's almost kind of a grassroots campaign that, you know, you have to kind of go and, you know, create these different experiences, you know, for, you know, consumers/fans, and then you'll grow organically, at least in my opinion.
And then you're saying though, to take the game though outside of the arena, and maybe
right.
bring it right to the neighborhoods of the fans.
Absolutely. Just really grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like hip-hop.
There you go. Like hip-hop.
Just like hip-hop. That sounds like really good cover. And I'm so glad that we were able to uncover the MBAs that these young ladies have, because now we know that we spelled phenom with an F on purpose, and our listeners could know
that. That was not an accident.
This is not a typo, right?
That's correct. Phenom was derived from combining phenomenal and female. So it's F-E-N-O-M.
I knew that all along, but Lee, we got worried.
Thank you.
Well, this is fantastic. Very inspiring, encouraging, and I just think you guys have so much going for you. And I get
Thank
the sense
you.
That Philip and Lee feel the same way.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So what's the best way for our listeners / female sports enthusiasts to get involved, learn more, and maybe even talk with you about some of this stuff?
So there are a few ways to get in touch with us. The first is you can go to our landing page right now, Team Phenom, that's TEAMFENOM.com. Enter your email address if you want to subscribe to our updates. You can also get at us on Twitter, so that's at Team Phenom. I'm personally on Twitter as well, so that's at Char Newman, CharNewman.
And I'm on Twitter, it's Antonia, Antonia, _ Newman. And then you can also email us as well. One of the email addresses is communityrelations@teamphenom.com.
And we're going to unleash this thing the 21st, am I remembering right?
That is correct.
We go live on the 21st, so
all right.
Very excited.
That's less than a month away.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We'll all look forward to that on the Pink X, right?
There you go.
Well, thank you all. Until next time, this is Stone Payton, Lee Cantor, our guests this morning, Philip Boykin, Charlotte Newman, Antonia Newman, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family, saying we'll see you in the fast lane.